Small businesses are at the heart of the U.S. economy. Here at Nurture Small Business Podcast, we're dedicated to seeing our small business owners succeed. I am your host, Denise Kagan, president of DCA Virtual Business Support. If you like what you hear on today's podcast, please share it. You have my gratitude for doing so.
Adversity is all of the junk that gets in your way of becoming great. Money problems, divorce, raising children, caring for aging parents, and socioeconomic nuances can feel like a swamp to women, just pulling us and sucking us down. And I know today's guest has seen her fair share of adversity, outright roadblocks, or at least some of the people who helped put that adversity in her way thought they were. I am here to tell you, this woman is the definition of a self-made woman. She is funny, entertaining, and inspiring, and I am so excited to have her on the show today. Welcome, Nisha Pai.
Oh my gosh, Denise, you're going to make me cry from that beautiful intro, and I'm honored to be here, so thank you.
You are welcome. I haven't, as we were saying just before the show, it's like, oh my gosh, we probably haven't spoken like 5 years. So it's really good to, first of all, reconnect. Before we, you know, get going, or as we get going, tell people a little bit just who you are.
Yeah, thank you. So I start by saying I'm a CPA, but not only a CPA. I started the first virtual remote bookkeeping firm here in Charlotte 13 years ago, employing stay-at-home moms, similar to your model. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I branched out from that after I started my firm from an adversity, and then branched out from that after hitting another big roadblock around 5 years ago when you and I had met, and published a book, became a speaker, you know, learned the skills of that, and decided that I wanted to be more than just an accountant. So I'm an author and a speaker, and I want to impact the world.
And I feel like you are, because you share your story fairly frequently, do you not?
I do. I think it's important, because I think we tend to see, as you know, an entrepreneur, we see the tip of the iceberg, and we don't see what's happening below the surface, or how the successful people originated. And a lot of times, I think it's out of adversity, out of something painful. And that needs to be shared, I think, to show people that there's hope, there's possibility, that they too can overcome.
I agree. I think business owners, particularly women business owners, and generally women are open to sharing. But when it comes to business, I think we're a little bit more closed-mouthed. It's like we feel a lot like we're an island versus creating our tribe there with business also, where we can share the junk that gets in our way. So tell us your story.
So my story, I was a single mom, and I went back into the workforce when my son was six and I was getting a divorce. And I had stayed, I had worked part-time for an accounting firm, a public accounting firm in Charlotte, North Carolina, and was there for 5 years. So I had built relationships with clients. I had, you know, accomplished five tax seasons. I had done all these things. And in my fifth year, I decided to go to my boss to ask for a raise. I had not asked for a raise previous to that point. So I thought 5 years is that's long enough to ask for an actual raise. And my son was 11.
Hang on, you got no raises in your 5 years?
No, I don't. No, that's a whole nother issue, right?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, that's a whole nother issue. So I went in year five. My son was 11. I said, you know what? He's getting to the age where now I can actually put in more hours. I can put in more hours, and I'm going to ask for a raise. Like, that's normal. And I walked into my boss's office, and I shared this in my keynote speech. This is my opening story. And I go in the middle of tax season. I ask him for this raise. It wasn't even a big amount. It was like $10,000, okay, over the course of a year. So let's just do the math on that. My take home would have been pennies, literally, right, with taxes and such. So I ask him for this raise, $10,000. So it wouldn't have even gotten me to market, just to give you a reference. And he looked at me and he said, no, right? And I mean, there was more dialogue, but the end result is he said no. And he followed that with, you have a mom gap in your resume. And if you don't know what a mom gap is, your listeners, a mom gap, which I even had to look that up, is the time that you take off to raise your child. The time that you take off from your career to raise your child. So
that he was referring.
It's absurd, right? So just for also for reference, this mom gap that he was talking about was for years before I even joined the firm.
And has nothing to do with your 5 years of performance there.
Had nothing to do with it. And he was using it to say to me, you're nowhere near where your peers are because of that. And so therefore, you don't deserve this raise, which, by the way, wasn't even market value to those peers. And I remember just vaguely just like standing up and yelling, I quit. With, you know, and it was like, whoa, what the hell did I just do? Right. Like I was so, it was this auto response. And the auto response came from something deep down where I was like, oh, hell no. Like you're not going to do this to me. Right. Like I've had enough in my life, in my career, where people have tried to hold me down. So I get up and I say, I quit. And I run down the hall and I'm calling my one big client. I call it the Jerry Maguire moment. And, you know, I call my one big client. It's a restaurant group here in Charlotte. And I said, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. I literally just quit. I don't even know what I'm doing. And they're like, Nisha, we'll go with you. And I was like, okay. I had no idea where I was going. And, you know, I get outside. I have my little pity party. I pull myself back up and I'm like, wait a minute. Why do you need to answer to anyone ever again? You can do this. You can do this on your own. You can do this better than that misogynistic man thought you could. And you're going to do it. So here I am 13 years later with a client base of almost 80 people and two women who have been with me for years, two wonderful moms. And when I walked out the door, I said, there are two things you're going to do. You're going to help the small business because they had been neglected in that firm. You know, they didn't bring in the dollar amounts. And you're going to help the stay-at-home mom because you'll never want another mom to make you feel the way that he did.
Oh my gosh, that just gives me shivers. I can't even imagine. I just can't imagine. That's, yeah. I'm at a loss for words and I normally am not.
I am. And I don't know. I didn't really, you know, I tried to share that story over the years, but now it's even more significant to me because I'm passionate about, you know, women coming back into the workforce and wanting to be more than just a mom, right? We saw a lot of women struggle with this during 2020 and trying to juggle between being a mom and a career person. And so, you know, it's important for me to share this message to say you can be both and that the mom gap should never, ever, ever come into play. Ever.
Not at all. It should be your qualifications and your, you know, what are you doing with that count? What have you been doing since you have been there? So it's interesting. I didn't recall actually that you employed, you know, the moms that very similar to what my structure is.
And yeah,
we do actually have some dads on occasion.
We'll take the dads. We'll take the dads.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, but it does tend to be women who's, you know, they're educated and then they decide they want to be at home with the family, but they want to still have some type of income to come in. So I love that you're doing that. I really do. I really do. So you've also made a name for yourself speaking. I see you everywhere. Even before I left the Charlotte area, I was seeing you everywhere. Ooh. So tell me about some of your speaking that you've done.
Yeah. Great question, Denise. So, you know, that was born out of the book that I wrote, which came out in January 2020. Ironically, I was planning on this whole book tour, right, in 2020, which never happened. And I thought, what can I do with it? What do I want with that, right? Unless you're Oprah, you're not making money off of book sales. So I said, you know, I really want to speak. Like I had been just dabbling in it and some of it was more like accounting speaking, but I was like, well, I really want to speak about my story and inspire women. So I enrolled in 2021 is when I started sort of getting into the training of it, the learning of it, the skills. I mean, it's a whole new world and industry. So I immersed myself in different speaking schools and just researched every speaker that I loved and, you know, read the books and wrote a keynote speech and started performing it last year. Actually, I did a speech back in 2021 is when I got my taste of it with the National Association of Women in Construction. And I was very, very much of a newbie. So from that experience, I said, man, I really love this. Like I walked off of stage feeling a huge high. And that is when I knew, wait a minute, I'm onto something. Because either people like love it or they hate it. Like, right, public speaking is like most people's biggest fear. But I walked off of stage going, ooh, I want more. So even though it is scary, right? I still get nervous. And that's when I started enrolling into these schools and researching it and learning it and learning the craft and developing speeches and learning how to develop speeches. And it led me to just putting myself out there. And I landed my first international gig before even making a name for myself in London at the Karen Brady Women in Business and Tech Expo. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, if I can do this, what else is in store? Right. And so I'm on this mission to continue and just reach bigger stages, more people. My audience is mainly women. Mm-hmm. And I find that every time I speak and I walk off the stage, I'm exhausted because I've left it all on the stage. So it's a good exhaustion. But two is, I'm on this high for days. And I'm like, okay, you have found your purpose. You have found your purpose. So now it's like, you know, I'm thinking about my accounting business and I'm like, okay, I really want to be over here in my speaking business. So I'm kind of running them both together right now and trying to grow my speaking business while still running my firm. So it's been an interesting journey.
Do you have any words of wisdom to other women business owners who have two businesses? Because I hear it more often than you would think.
Yes. You know, that is a great question. It can burn you out if you are moving too fast and you think you have to do all the things for both of them at the same time. So it's like I focus on what do I need to focus on now, which is, you know, what is my bread and butter? My bread and butter is my accounting business. But over here is my passionate speaking business. So it's like, am I where I want to be in that business right now? No, but I'm doing little things at a time, right? Like if I were to do it all at once, I'd already have like my perfect website. I would have my speaker reel. I would blah, 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 blah. But I was like, okay, Nisha, one thing at a time, one thing at a time, because you're over here giving your energy and you don't want to burn out, because we also forget we have to take care of ourselves in the process. And so I allow for space of self-care, whatever we want to call it, you know, the buzzword is self-care, but I allow for rest. I allow for recharge. I'm getting ready to go on this sabbatical where I can do that. And just tell myself, like, this is not a race. This is not a race.
So allowing for self-care and allowing for rest, what does that look like for you?
For me, I don't feel selfish anymore. I used to feel selfish initially. And I'm like, oh, this isn't selfish, right? Because if we don't take care of ourselves, we have no business, right? Health as well. Mental health, spiritual health, physical health. So I take care of myself in each of those realms, right? Am I making time for my faith, my relationship with God? Am I going to the gym? Am I eating properly? Am I getting 8 hours of sleep? Am I, you know, able to read, or even if I just want to Netflix and chill or just scroll on TikTok, right? Like, what are the things that I enjoy doing to rest my brain from actual work or being in the business? And I make time for that. I calendar block those times even. Yep.
Build it in. You build know. It in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what we coach right? our clients on, and even our team members. It's like if you need to spend 2 hours with your kids for homeschool, put that on your calendar so you are not scheduling meetings during that time.
100%. It's a great practice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the book. You said you wrote a book.
Yes. You know, when it first came out, people were like, assumed it was about accounting. And I said, no, I said, actually, you know, I worked with Fabi Presler here at Spark Publications.
Yep.
And when I first approached her about it, I thought, am I crazy? But she's like, no, we're going to get this out of you. And it is about my journey. Because I literally walked in with gibberish. Like
I can hear her saying that actually.
Yeah, like it was gibberish on a piece of paper, right? Brain dump. I was like, do you understand what I'm trying to get out? And she's like, yeah, I do. She's brilliant. She's a genius. And anyway, so it's about my journey as a first gen Indian woman born and raised in the South and what that was like. So I go through, you know, some instances of racism, sexism, motherhood, postpartum, walking out of my boss, divorce, finding God. You know, I left Hinduism and went to follow Jesus. So that's a big thing. And so it was a healing journey initially of why I wanted to write the book. And then I decided, you know, this is a way for me to connect to other people. And I was going through at the time some pretty big, monumental things, you know, I that were bad, right? So previous to 2020, and it was a way for me to heal. What I didn't know when I got the book out is that my number one, even to this day, I call him my biggest fan, not even in my intended audience, was a 29-year-old white male who was a CPA working for his dad in his dad's tax firm. And he inboxed me and said, I've been following you. I got your book. And he said, it changed my life. He goes, I quit my job. I don't know if his dad's too happy. And I was like, oh God, I have to work with your dad. And he's like, I quit my job and I went into real estate. That's what I wanted to do. And I was like, okay, whoa, I'm onto something here with my book, right? Like it's touching people that aren't even my intended audience. And it won that year the Multicultural Nonfiction Award at the American Book Fest. So awesome. I was like, oh my God, I'm so proud of this little book because, you know, it's never going to make, you know, New York Times bestseller or sell as many books as Oprah, but it is out here touching people's lives. And I was like, that is what I wanted because I felt alone on an island as this brown girl growing up in the South. And I'm like, how many people out here, whether they're white, black, male, female, you know, bi, cis, like how many people, human beings are out here that can relate to one or many parts of my story? There are a lot because you know what? Ordinary obstacles are things that we all go through. Mm-hmm. And hence the title of the book, Overcoming Ordinary Obstacles. So I found it very healing. I still find it healing when someone comes up to me and says, man, I read your book and I really related to you in this chapter, or, hey, these words resonated with me. And for me, that was what it was about.
Give me one of the maybe funny anecdotes from the book.
Funny anecdotes. Oh, gosh, that's a good question. I have several, but, you know, my best or my favorite one, I'm trying to think if there were some in childhood. And I can't really remember, but my one that comes to mind is what my keynote speech is based off of, which is my Jerry Maguire moment of just getting up and walking out, gotcha. Right, of my boss. And, but there are some funny parts. There's a lot of serious parts in there too. You know, I do address some really heavy things and how I overcame them. And divorce, which is also a taboo thing in the Indian culture. Mm-hmm. And just what that was like, right? So there are a lot of heavy things. And I take readers through the end of each chapter to relate my journey to theirs. So I ask them questions like, oh, did you, you know, how did you feel about your parents at this time? Or, you know, did you have a spiritual awakening, you know? So I try to get people to feel something of themselves after each chapter.
Perfect. You know, I'm going to have to go out and get the book now, right?
I will send one to you. Yeah. Oh,
sweet.
I would love for you to read it. I'd be honored for you to read it. And I'd love to know your thoughts, but it's just funny because I feel like whoever you are, you're going to say to me that in that one part, I found myself relating to you. Like I went through XYZ and I felt the same things you did, you know? So
how long did it take you to write the book?
It took me a year. And I did it while I was going through all those little things, you know, or they were big things, but some of them I address actually in the book, because as I was going through them, I wrote about them. But it took me a year. It took me a year. And it's funny, like literally this piece of paper that I had gibberish on came out into this like beautiful book. And that's really a product of Fabi and her team of editors who helped me get out the stories and the words. Interestingly enough, I'm getting ready to, on my sabbatical, I'll be writing an epilogue. And the epilogue is going to be 5 years later, because it's the fifth anniversary. And it came out actually in the end of 2019. So 5 years at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about what has happened to me in the 5 years. So with a new cover and everything. So I'll have to make sure. In fact, if I were you, I'd wait until that point, because then you could read the epilogue.
Okay. So what are your big goals for the next year, 3 years, 5 years?
Great question. My goals would be, I'm having an angst within my firm, my accounting firm. So something where I'm merging, doing something with that to get me to the next level. But I also, in my speaking career, I want to get to big stages. I mean, big stages is my goal, is my dream. How many more women can I impact, or even people? And so I'll be continuing to be on my speaking journey.
I love that. Absolutely love that.
Thank you. Yeah.
So how can our listeners find you after our podcast?
I would love people to follow me. I'm very, very big on LinkedIn. At Nisha Pai, and not LinkedIn. Did I say Instagram? Sorry, not LinkedIn.
You are.
I was like, Instagram's
LinkedIn.
More fun. Yeah. I am on LinkedIn, and I'd love to connect with you there too. But I'm really big on Instagram, so I'd love for you to follow me there. You could find a link to my book and different things that I'm doing, my website, and all that. So.
Okay. We will make sure that your Instagram is in the show notes, as well as a link to your book. So people can still connect with you, but it'll be super easy for them to get the link to your book.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
No problems. What should I have asked you that I didn't ask you? Final question.
Oh, wow. That you're a great interviewer. I'm like, actually, you did a great job asking me everything. You know, I can't think of anything. I think that...
job well done.
I can't think of anything. No, you did a great job. I think the key message for me here was that women in particular, I know you have men in your audience too, but I want the women to really hear and understand that we can be both. We can be a mom and have a career, and we can reach our dreams, right? I think a lot of people stop short of dreaming big.
And we can have multiple businesses and a breadwinning and a passion business.
Yes. And we need to dream big. What's your big dream? People stop short of their dream because they think they can't do it. And, you know, I'm doing it. I'm living my dream. And so, you know, we can do it.
Absolutely.
We can do it. Yeah.
Absolutely. You have been a fantastic guest. Thank you, Nisha.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me for today's Nurture Small Business podcast, where the focus is on business growth through technology, leadership, and people strategies. Do you have an idea for a podcast or feedback you'd like to share with me? Send me a note through my website at dcavirtual.com/contact.